This is Dr. Robert
and Linda Graniker,
and you are listening to WLXL
95.7 FM,
Lexington Community Radio.
Hey everybody, it's 1:02 p.m. Post Meridian Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. My name's Chuck.
Hey Chuck, I'm Ben.
And you just got finished listening to Kyle and Ben's interview with Bill Goodman.
I wanted to let you know, as a bonus for listening to the first hour, here in the second hour, you get privileged to an inside joke, which was there was some confusion as to what day Bill was going to show up. I think it was Wednesday the 22nd.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I can do the 22nd. And then there was some last-minute emailing and texting. Oh, no, we got the wrong date. That's why there is a very, very awkward pause when Bill said today's the 21st.
I see.
When we pre-recorded. So that's that's my special Christmas gift
to
you guys.
A little inside
for
track.
For listening to the first hour in addition to the second.
Well,
I love this music.
Yeah, this is great. O Tannenbaum. Classic jam.
Vince Guaraldi? Is that how you say his name?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, this is one of those Christmas albums that just kind of played over and over in the house growing up. This and the Sesame Street Christmas album from the 70s.
That's my favorite. The Sesame Street Christmas episode special where Big Bird stays up to wait for Santa Claus to come, so he falls asleep on the rooftop, but then he discovers that the door shuts behind him and it's locked.
Oh, no!
And so everyone looks around Sesame Street trying to figure out where Big Bird went, and he's stuck on the roof.
But he can't flap his arms and sort of glide down from the roof.
He's a giant 8-foot yellow pigeon. You know, Big Bird was originally purple. I went to
you've seen like the original thing, and Oscar the Grouch was like orange or yellow or something.
Yeah, I went to the Jim Henson exhibit in the Space Needle in Seattle as part of the Science Fiction Museum there, and sure enough, they have one of the original sketches that Jim made of Big Bird, and he's purple.
I have a little story about that. When I went to film school, one of our instructors worked for the Children's Television Workshop, and we were talking about. Oh, he was talking about Snuffleupagus, which, by the way, they know Snuffleupagus is real now and have for decades. When we were kids, or when I was a kid,
people
thought that Snuffleupagus was Big Bird's imaginary friend, and nobody thought he was real. Then it was discovered, I think, in the mid-80s that, he's real. But Snuffleupagus is huge, and it makes no sense. If you put him in a storage room, he would take up the entire room, and you need to sort of economize your space. And if you've been to a TV studio, you know that the ceilings, it's like a warehouse, really. The ceilings are about, at least minimum 50 feet. So what they decided to do was hoist him with rope and pulleys. So when you first walk into Children's Television Workshop, the first thing you see hovering about 50 feet over the grounds, like an Egyptian god, a monument is Snuffleupagus.
That's amazing,
and it's a very cool image.
I love I love the idea that all those Sesame Streets were filmed with Snuffleupagus smiling.
Smiling down, looking over, and all that. And Chuck, you and I were talking about 2016 before we came on the air, and what a lousy year it's been in, considering how many people we've lost. And I'm curious, are there just more famous people, and this is just something we're going to have to deal with going forward?
You know, I mean, famous people die every year, but this was a particularly tough one for the caliber of not only musicians, but also actors that we love and know, that we, depend on it.
Yeah,
supply us with art, remind us of our own humanity, remind us to be alive and live life to the fullest. We lost a lot of them, and I would like to go through some of them of note. Just to wrap up the year, kind of, we lost Alan Thicke, we lost Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I didn't even hear about Alan Thicke.
John Glenn,
John
Fry,
Glenn.
Fidel Castro, Florence Henderson, Leonard Cohen, Janet Reno, Gene Wilder, Arnold Palmer,
We have
the list goes on. Alex Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Or sorry, Alan Rickman.
It's Alan, Chuck.
It is.
My name is Alan Rickman.
Thank you for that.
Not whatever it was you said.
Gary Marshall, Eli Wiesel, Muhammad Ali, Prince. Merle Haggard, Patty Duke, Gary Shandling.
Gary Shandling was a tough one for me personally. That was two shows that revolutionized television. Mm-hmm. And television isn't nearly, people talk about it's the golden age, and I agree, golden age of television right now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist without Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
Two shows, both upping the ante for television programming. I think the saddest one is Anton Yelchin, who was, 23? And that made the last Star Trek movie kind of difficult to watch. And I felt similarly watching the last Fast and Furious movie when you see Paul Walker up there. It's the same kind of feeling. It's hard. I mean, once some time's gone by, I'll be able to appropriately judge the merits of those two films.
Yeah.
But for right now, it's just such a bummer. Every time Chekhov popped up on screen, it was just like, oh, he was so young.
Well, I will give you some homework, Ben. You should out RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan. Has a killer track in tribute to Paul Walker.
Oh, okay.
After he passed away. But yeah. I think for me this year, there were two folks who passed away who I was really taken by. Abe Vigoda.
Yeah.
Who is like the old guy in residence for every film forever.
And how was it in the 90s that Conan started making Abe Vigoda is dead jokes, and Abe Vigoda would be in the audience and say, not dead, weirdo.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But of course, David Bowie. I mean, Prince, that was tough. But,
sure.
Bowie, the album that he dropped before he passed away when he knew he was dying.
Yeah.
Man.
It was similar to Warren Zevon.
Yeah.
I mean, he did.
Just like a final opus, a final farewell. So that's awesome.
So many great albums from all of these people, from Leonard Cohen and Prince and David Bowie.
There's a lot. But it's a new year.
Who's going to die this year?
Yeah, well...
we'll take our... give us a call.
You know, there's
and
actually...
And tell us who do you think's going to die this year.
No, that's...
I think every year, the smart money has been on Courtney Love, and one day it's going to pay off.
I think there's a... some comedian has like a it's like a baby shower, like a calendar,
okay,
where you can guess, and if you guess the right date that the celebrities die on, then you win. You win points, and whoever has... It's like fantasy football, but...
Wow,
rather than
morbid.
Football, it's celebrity.
That's even more morbid than what I
just said. Super sardonic. Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, celebrity deaths aside.
What was good about this year?
You know,
the Cubs. The Cubs won. Cubs won the World Series.
Well, there were a lot of really good things this year. Here at Lexington Community Radio, we started a Spanish radio station, Lexington's only one. At 95.7.
Yeah, yeah. We started it at the. October of 2015, but now we're exclusively...
The structure existed, but the Spanish station was not there.
Right.
So
and LXU wasn't here at all until March.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we started up...
This station started this year, so there's a lot of good things. I mean, it's easy to reflect on the insane, chaotic state of the world right now, but there's a lot of good out there. There's a lot of awesome things that have happened and are happening.
Let's turn the night into day, shall we?
Yeah,
in
let's
2017.
Do it. And so here for the next hour of Bluegrass Bios, we've got a Lexington legend of sorts, impresario Mick Jeffries is going to be in the mix to talk about his ukulele efforts / so many things that Mick does here in Lexington.
I think you can hear him tuning his ukulele in the background. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. Yeah, he's going to play for us.
That'll be a lot of
get
fun.
Get a couple of songs out of him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So, nonetheless, I guess we're going to hear a little bit of music
in
between.
Well, we'll pay the bills in between.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and pay the bills, get out of the way, and come back and hit the people with some solid entertainment.
Yeah.
Cool, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM.
Supermercado Las Norteñas here in Lexington offers Mexican and Latin American products. They also offer cell phone credit services like Bus Revolution. Supermercado Las Norteñas also offers fresh fruits and vegetables as well as a variety of meats. They are located at 158 East New Circle Road here in Lexington and are open every day from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. For more information, you can call 859-368-0800. Lexington Community Radio thanks Supermercado Las Norteñas for supporting True Community Radio.
This is Lydia Jacobs, host of Aging Adventures. We keep everyone up to date on what's going on in the senior community in Lexington, conferences available, how to stay healthy. We talk to a wide range of people, professionals, individuals who are paving their own way in the aging world. Aging Adventures with host Lydia Jacobs on Fridays, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on 93.9 WLXU, a Lexington community radio. But in passing, we'll grow older every day.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU, LPFM, Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the Bluegrass region up on the north side of Lexington, Kentucky, in the 100-plus-year-old Johnson Elementary School, a.k.a. STEAM Academy. And with us is a special guest, longtime Lexingtonian, Mr. Mick Jeffries. Hey, Mick.
Chuck, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Did they call this the STEAM Academy because this place originally was ran on STEAM?
That's a good question. Yeah. I think so.
That's a very real possibility.
I mean, it's a clever acronym, but that's very, very apropos, though. So, Mick, first question, where are you from?
I am originally from Western Kentucky. I'm from Owensboro. Some people say there's something in the water there, and I think the same thing is possibly true of Corbin, but... Well, that's to say that there are a lot of neat people came from Owensboro, wound up in Lexington. I think because, you know, Owensboro was a nice place to live, but I wouldn't want to visit there.
You know, we just said John Ferguson.
Oh, you stole that from me. I've been saying that for years.
John Ferguson.
Yeah, John Ferguson's from Owensboro.
Yeah, he's from Owensboro. He said the same thing.
Lori Houlihan is from Owensboro. Awesome. It was a great place to grow up. It was like, you know... they're very proudly, Chuck, the third largest city in Kentucky.
I believe.
You don't mess with that. They call themselves the barbecue capital of the world. I don't want to get into that exactly because there's like three restaurants there. There's like three barbecue restaurants there. But all things considered, it was like a great kind of, you know, I can't really call it a city, but it's more than a town.
Yeah.
And so
it's like the dusk of urban situations.
Yeah, but we could, you know, we could ride our bikes anywhere we wanted to. That's and cool. The dogs ran free.
Very much like what's that football movie? Saturday Night Lights.
Kind of like that.
Friday Night Lights. Thank you. Yeah, Saturday Night Lights is just when they forgot to turn them off on Friday. It's just one guy out there on the field.
But Lexington's been my home for 30 years or so, with a little bit of time in New York. But Lexington's always suited me very well.
Yeah, and Mick, you do so many things here in town, and in fact, you were instrumental in getting this station started, right?
I was. This station, I'll never not be proud to say that this station grew out of a conversation between Deborah Hensley and I. Mm-hmm.
And how did that go? Can you tell us?
Deborah called me one day, and we were. Deborah started. She was one of the people that was instrumental in starting WRFL, which I was also one of the people that started. And so Deborah called me. We were casually acquainted because I'd interviewed her a couple times for an oral history that I did about WRFL, and that's how we kind of became friends. And then we became more and more. We would just kind of touch base with each other. And one day she called me. I can still remember where I was walking down the street, and she was like, "What do you think about starting?" I was on Limestone, and I actually wasn't that far. I was on Nicholasville Road, and I actually wasn't that far away from her office.
Wow. Oh, okay.
I don't think she was there, but I can't tell you why I was walking there. But I remember walking, and she was like, "What do you think? What do you think about a community radio station?" You know, and it's funny. And I had been thinking about it, and I was aware of what they call the Prometheus Project, which was this entity that the station became involved with, that whose sole purpose in a lot of ways was to help people push through the startup of community radio. We won't get into like the Byzantine details of how community radio on a larger scale became possible a few years ago. But fortunately, we were where we needed to be to kind of start that moving. And another thing that happened around that time was the Now What Lexington conference. If you remember that, this happened at the Carnegie Center, and it happened after, I can't remember what the thing was called, where there was a thing down at the Civic Center. It was a commercial event, but like the guy that spoke was Richard Florida, I think, or maybe one of his pupils, but the whole idea, it was the beginning of...
Was it like an idea, the Idea Festival?
Yeah, it was the Idea Fest, that's what it was. And so... that particular one, people really just kind of got really kind of stoked up by that. And Ben Self, who had kind of moved back to town, who is behind West 6th, and he had kind of come back to town and he spoke. And very smartly, as Ben is wont to be, he, I believe, was one of the people that was instrumental in creating this follow-up event called Now What Lex. And the idea was, let's not all just kind of like... go home and go to sleep and on Monday morning forget all about this and just go back to work.
Great idea.
Right. And so it was an unconference, which was this, and the idea was that nobody knows what the topics are going to be, but you put your topic up on a wall and anybody that wants to do it signs up for it.
Cool.
So this was one of the flashpoints for the local food movement. Like there were a bunch of different little sessions. The local food was one of the topics, and that room had like 30 people in it. Like it was just wall to wall people.
Wow.
I in a classic unconference moment, I was like, community radio. Like who wants to start a radio station? And so I put a thing up, and like five or six people. but we talked about it, and so all these things kind of gelled when Deborah and I talked.
Very cool.
And then
here we are.
And here we are.
What now? This is now. This is what's now.
So anyway,
I'm model super, for the nation.
I'm super super it's proud true. Of the station and what you guys have done. And there's, I mean, you got two frequencies on the air. The groundwork was nicely laid, and I just think that there's so much. This is what radio is supposed to be, not the shiny polished thing that radio for the most part is, but just like real people talking about things and playing music,
not just completely automated.
Music
and
more.
People coming from New York or Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a local, hyper-local, democratic exchange of information, ideas, and news. And letting people know about what's going on here in Lexington.
Are we in an elevator?
Yeah.
I got an elevator speech.
That's like my, oh my God, I forgot to give the elevator speech. I'm almost at the floor speech. So, Mick, you also designed the logo, right? The Lexington Community Radio
Against
logo.
My better judgment.
Well, the thing's gotten quiet. Some miles.
Did it cause you some sleepless nights?
I'm a graphic designer by trade, and one of the things that I've attempted to move away from that in some ways, and it was funny because I originally sought out other entities to do the logo, and just for a variety of reasons, those efforts fell on their face, and so I wound up kind of being the guy to design the logo, and I don't know why I didn't want to so bad, but I think I'm just like trying to. Trying to sort of move into other fields. So I wound up designing a logo. And one of the funny things was we were like, okay, the one thing you cannot, you know, you look at, if you're a designer, you look at this kind of low-hanging fruit stuff, and you're like, okay, there cannot be a radio tower. I do not want a radio tower on, because it's a radio tower in every single radio station logo ever.
Yeah.
And before I was done, I had this incredible radio tower.
It towered above all the other towers.
Because I did the tower like no one has ever done towers before in graphic design. So, but it's an L, okay? So, like, I'm looking at it back there. You know, we've got the waves coming off of it, which, of course, is radio, right?
Concentric
circle. But it's an L, and it's not just an L. I want you guys to use this, okay? It's an L, and it's also a VU meter. Whenever you have to explain your logo to someone, it's like, forget it.
Yeah.
No, maybe that's just photos. But you know, if it has multiple, it had a couple extra onion skin layers, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, it's great. We love it.
Yeah, I love our logo. And if you want to, if you're listening to us on the radio right now, you can go to lexingtoncommunityradio.org and see the logo. Yeah. Or if you're listening to us on iTunes, it's the Bluegrass Bios logo is superimposed at the top of the Lexington Community Radio logo. I think it's great. Yeah. I love it.
And see the fruits of Mick's anguish.
So, you know, mostly that's just like having the meeting where you show it to the people. show. And everybody was really supportive. You know, all of this complaining that I'm doing, you know, it comes from design by committee and landing in front of people. And they're like, can you know, the classic. There's actually, you know, a song about this. Can you make the logo bigger?
Yeah.
And and I didn't really get any of that from people. I didn't get that kind of blowback. Well, and I was pretty happy about that.
Well, that's good. And it seems like with graphic design, it's a lot of folks who are like, can you make this with a little more passion?
You want it to pop. Yeah. You want it to pop. Is that what you want? Right. You want it to pop a little bit more. Okay, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's goofy. So in addition to being a graphic designer, Mick, you're also a photographer, right?
I have a short attention span, and over my history of years, I've done a lot of things. I'm a professional photographer. And photography, maybe it's one of my great passions, just because I like to observe. I'm kind of an observer. I do some photography here and there too.
Mm-hmm. What do you like to photograph?
Well,
people, I landscapes.
Like to photograph my daughter mostly. Okay. I like capturing moments I'm trained as a photojournalist.
Oh, okay.
And so my great preference is photographing the ever changing and sort of dynamic life of people, and capturing them in their finest moments, not moments that are contrived. I'm not like, everybody get together for a picture person. I love photographing people just living their lives and hopefully capturing moments in their lives that have maybe a little bit of profundity to them, but also images that I hope that they would really like too.
You also have quite a collection of vintage antique cameras, right?
Do I? I don't know that I do anymore.
Well,
have I?
You've shown me some pretty amazing your family photos that are in 3D.
Oh, right. There are those. Yeah. No, yeah. I kind of, it runs in the family. We have the stereo 3D photos that goes back to the beginning of photography, actually. Yeah. You can see Civil War photos that are stereo 3D photos.
This is pretty fascinating.
So when were they making 3D cameras in the past?
Well, 3D cameras go back, like I said, literally to the Civil War.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because all it is it's a camera with two
lenses. I heard you say that, but I didn't quite sink in.
Two lenses that, think about it, it's incredibly simple, and it sort of blows your mind. All you need is a camera with two lenses that are about the distance apart of a pair of human eyes. Mm-hmm. And then you make two exposures, and then you make a contraption that you look through, and you put that thing in there, and it shows each of your eyeballs the image from the corresponding eye, and whoa, it's in 3D all of a sudden. All for just like a span of 3.5 inches or 4 inches. Yeah. So it does go back to Civil War. And when you look at Civil War stereo photos, they're creepy. They're like, oh my god, because it looks so because it's in three dimensions. It's weird. Yeah. But my grandparents did a lot of this too. I've got thousands and thousands of photos of my grandparents.
Oh, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So Mick. So in addition to photography, you also do a longtime radio show, which I have been the guest host and also a guest on.
That's the show. I do the show called Trivial Thursdays on WRFL, which is the show that I always say that I never wanted anyone to do.
That's my favorite part.
I was the second program director of WRFL and one of the people that founded that station. Mm-hmm. And when I was the program director, it was a tough room. Like we were hardcore. The people that started that station were just like really just weird, just hard. And like people were, you're supposed to get on and play the alternative underground music that nobody's ever heard of and tell everybody what they heard and shut up because you're not that funny. and don't think you are. So just get on and play the music and shut up and tell people what they heard. So the very idea of having a talk show in the early days of RFL would have been anathema to most of the people there. They would have been like, no, you think you can do that? No. So anyway, so I went away from RFL for, you know, a decade or so. When I came back to Lexington, I stumbled back into the station accidentally due to the boyfriend of a friend of mine who knew that I had something to do with the station. And he tricked me into doing a show again.
Well, and I'm glad he did.
Over a decade ago. Now I've been doing it since then. But it's a talk show. It's an interview show. And I always, like I said, I joke that it's the show I never would have allowed anyone to do when I was the program director. And that's true.
And that's Thursdays from
Thursday mornings,
7 to 9?
From 7 to 9. Different guests every week.
On 88.1.
It's a show where the guests are always people who are making Lexington a more amazing place, basically. Mm-hmm. Mostly by way of helping people, and I call them the Young Turks, people who come up with nonprofit and community things that are designed to raise people up. Of course, music and art are always included in that. That's just basic. That's by definition, those things raise people up, I think. So, so there's musicians and artists and librarians. My rock stars are librarians. and then people who have started cool community organizations, people that do cool things for the community.
Oh, that's awesome.
Every week, a couple different guests every week.
Yeah, and it's such a great show. And I think it's also a great show because it kind of captures the oral history of what's happening in Lexington and various periods of time and also what's coming up, you know, a great preview of things that people can support.
If they
say, hey, I only want to do one or two things this weekend to support what's out there, what's going on. I think your show is a great spot to go to figure out, you know, what's an event that's has some substance? What is something that's substantial?
That's what I use it for.
Yeah. So I guess my question for you, Mick, is what are some significant or some interesting or maybe difficult interviews that you've had on Trivial Thursdays over the last, you know, the last decade?
Good ones plus? First. I like hearing.
The first thing that popped into my head was I got to interview Will Oldham one time.
Wow.
And I didn't know at the time, Will Oldham, who is kind of one of Kentucky's sort of finest sons in some ways, and he's from Louisville and has created this incredible body of music and art and so forth, and also has done so as a complete iconoclast. You know, he doesn't look like a rock star. Mm-hmm. He's incredibly smart. Mm-hmm. And also has this weird, you know, he was in a Kanye West video.
Yeah, right.
And so he's kind of an enigma, you know, and he played the preacher's kid when he was a kid in Mate One.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I had some friends that managed to, it was because of a charity event that Greg Abernathy created, and he arranged, Greg has pulled some strings for me a few times, and he's like, if you want to interview Will Oldham, you know, I can arrange that. And I was like, of course, that'd be great. So Will called in, and I we had this, I thought it went really well, and Will laughed a few times, and we had a nice chat. And afterwards, I became aware of this book that he had released. I can't remember what it's called. It's like 700 pages. And when they asked him about the book, he said that it was the book that he wrote so he would never have to give another interview.
Wow.
So he would never have to talk to the press ever again.
Wow.
So I felt, you know, honored that I got to talk to Will, you know, and thank God I didn't know before that Will didn't like talking to the press and didn't ever want to do it again.
700 pages. That's insane. That's pretty crazy.
So that's when I enjoyed that a lot.
As far as bad interviews go, you know, you can leave their names out, but what makes a bad guest? I know what does it for me.
Yeah. Well, you just saying that last part actually cued me because I was going to say nobody's a bad interview, really. But
No, I disagree with that completely.
Well, the people that I try to avoid having as guests are the actually official people of an entity, the people I call the flax. I try to avoid having like the chairman or any of the people who are like the top level leaders of organizations, because I find that I shouldn't blame them. I have trouble getting them to be very casual, and they have their speech down really well, and they kind of like, I always tell my guests when they come in, I'm like, listen, if you get right to the thing that you want to talk about, then we're kind of done. There's not really nothing left for us to talk about. So my preference is just stick with me. We're going to meander around a whole lot.
Yeah.
I may start out asking you what you had for breakfast or when was the last time you had your windshield wipers changed. I don't know why I just thought of that. But, like, don't worry. We'll get around to your thing. But if you just sort of spit out your spiel and say, we'd really love for everybody to come down to our thing, blah, 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 it's not very interesting. So,
well, usually if somebody has a PR person from their organization that comes in, they are pretty well practiced at talking and conversation.
It's a pre-packaged discussion.
And they can't
discussion.
Know. I mean, like, you know, the interviews that I get to do are typically 45 minutes to an hour long. Mm. These people are used to being on TV where they get like 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes. And so they're right to have that stuff locked down. But it's not what I want for my show. So I like for people who come on who can who I can sort of zing back and forth with, who are kind of crackpots a little bit.
Any tricks you have of getting people to?
Hey, wait! I've been on your show.
What are you saying?
Any tricks of the trade you have to get people to open up that you have?
Yeah, but none that I'm giving away.
Oh, no!
I'm kidding. I don't know. It just kind of comes naturally to me. I'm naturally curious, and so I naturally. I ask more questions than most people do, but the only reason I do is just out of a natural intrinsic curiosity. So usually what happens with guests is that we stumble into some vein of conversation because of a t-shirt they're wearing or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And we have enough time that we can just goof around, you know, sometimes I have a failing. Sometimes the failing that I have is, you know, I'm like, we got all the time in the world. Like right now, we've got all the time in the world. And then you're like, and then there's like 4 minutes left. You're like, oh, wait. Okay. So anyway, the thing you're doing is, it's on Saturday, right? And, it's 7 to 9, right? And
as long as you get that last plug in.
I never mean to do that, but, no, I don't know. It's just a natural, it's more than just, sometimes if people seem nervous, I tell them it's just like you and me having coffee, only we happen to be on the radio.
Yeah.
There's no great bar that I'm trying to hit. I'm just trying to have authentic conversations with people, which it's easy. That's what we're here. That's why we're all here.
You brought two ukuleles here.
Right.
With you. We have to perform.
Well, okay, yeah. And we have to talk about Kentucky Ukulele, and I'm here and let's see. I'm here with my partner in ukulele evangelizing. Sarah Beth Brown Roby is here and I'm just realizing we don't have quite enough microphones.
But we can get friendly.
And so we do have some ukuleles. Because we are enormous, enormous champions of what I call personal music, and find that ukulele is the best way to do this. There's a lot to say about this, but the general gist is, I think that music has the power to has an incredible healing power. We're living in a really crazy and pretty sick world, and music is a real way that people can find a little bit of solace in their lives, and it's something that can be shared. It's not some kind of woo-woo. I mean, really, it really does. It does help you. It makes you a better mathematician, in case you're trying to do that. it's good for higher brain functions. It's good for keeping you from becoming demented as you get older. I could go on forever and ever and ever about the benefits of music, but once I started to realize this and once I started to see this kind of, we've seen this swell in the popularity of ukulele, it turns out that ukulele is kind of the perfect foil and tool for this. Would you want to add something to that, Sarah Beth Brown Roby?
You know, you don't see a bunch of recorder gangs going around, you know, so whereas that used to be the intro, you know, musical instrument for all sorts of kids across the nation. We all had our little recorders, and that was super exciting, except it wasn't. Ukuleles are something that kids can get together, and it really builds them into a community. We just did our first open mic night, and it was a blast. Our youngest person was 4. What was it she played? 3 Blind Mice?
She played Hot Cross Buns.
Hot Cross Buns,
which
right?
sounds incredibly like 3 Blind Mice.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't mix those two up.
I'm a little ashamed.
3 Blind Buns. Sorry, I just...
Oh, Lord.
Anyway.
So our youngest was 4. I think our oldest was probably in their 7. I don't want to say...
I'm only 51, okay?
I'm not talking about you. But we had large groups come. We had, you know, individuals play. It was really fun and exciting. And we had a whole room of people engaged with each other, you know, face-to-face, no screens for, you know, 2 hours. And it was so much fun. It was a blast.
It's this thing about personal music, you know, where you get, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I love music. I've got tons and tons of music, but there's only so far you can get, with, you know, man, this song is my jam. This song, you know, like, you know, you hear people, like a lot of younger people say this too, you know, you hear some song comes on the radio and you're like, yeah, this is my jam. But guess what? we could probably teach you how to play that song yourself.
On ukulele.
Yeah. And then, like, and that activates just this whole other part of your brain in a lot of ways, you know. And you, among other things, discover that you are a musician, and everyone can be a musician if they want to be. It doesn't have to be left to some, like, elite squad of people who have something special that you don't. Mm. And it's not even just about being a musician. It's about what it brings to your, to the bigger you, your higher self, basically, you know, having a personal relationship with music. And I think that the ukulele has just been part of its raging recent popularity, has to do with people realizing this and connecting with it.
That's well, because, you know, I had sung in some choirs, you know, as like the background singer, you know, the third alto or whatever for, you know, my college years, and then nothing. Right. Throughout my adulthood, had kids, you know, and then came to the ukulele and have joined a tribe of people in Lexington. There's a group called the Lexingtones that we play with when we're not doing Kentucky ukulele. And sometimes when we are doing Kentucky ukulele, we go to a huge gathering in a random field in the middle of Indiana that gathers about 900 ukulele wow. enthusiasts for a week of, you know, camping. And I'm it's.
And what, know, what is that called?
It's called Ukulele World Congress. but, I mean, it's not glamorous camping, necessarily. Mm-hmm. There are porta-potties and the whole thing, and people, they don't care. You know, we're coming to play ukulele for a week.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating tribe to have joined. I am not as accomplished as Mick Jeffries and some of these, but I get to play my own music, and that's super fun.
Well, that's awesome. And just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU. We're in here with Sarah Beth and Mick Jeffries. We're talking everything ukulele here at the moment, talking about KYUK, which is an organization that Mick puts together. I guess you want to take a break, Ben? What are you feeling?
Yeah, we can take a break. And
maybe we'll be able to take a break and get things set up. You guys want to play some tunes for
us? We're going
to
play a song for you, and then maybe some other songs too.
But, sure.
And maybe punctuate that with some more of talking. That'll help turn our brains on to back to the power of ukulele, kind of, and how much we want to be able to use ukulele with people of all ages to kind of like help them in their in their existences, basically.
In their journeys.
Yeah.
That's great. If people want more information about KYUK, where can they go?
KYUK.com.
Wow. Simple enough.
You can even
we're also on the Facebooks.
Yeah.
Nice. Facebooks. KY, all caps, UK.
Either one. I mean, you know, that's how I like to write it because I'm a graphic designer.
Nice.
It can be all lowercase if you want.
Sure.
And you can say cuke if you want. And so Sarah Beth was kind of behind this whole thing. So, you know, there'll be some sort of cucumber things coming out. We're working on
it. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, that's great. Well, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here at 93.9. We'll be back here with Sarah Beth and Mick just in a moment.
This portion of the broadcast is brought to you by Nomi Design. Nomi is an architecture and fabrication studio located in central Kentucky, comprised of 16 architects, makers, and designers, producing client-centered spaces and products that improve living, learning, and leisure. Nomi, inspired communities through good design. You can find us online at www.nomi.design and on Facebook and Instagram. Lexington Community Radio thanks Nomi Design for supporting true community radio.
Need your cornbread every day.
Hey there, heat up those skillets. This is Chris Michael,
Weta Michael,
and Rona Roberts,
your co-hosts for Hot Water Cornbread Kentucky Food Radio, happening every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time on WLXU 93.9 LPFM here at Lexington Community Radio.
We start each show with a look back at foods, drinks, and recipes we enjoyed the week before. Think bourbon, sorghum, and corn with oysters and the occasional lemon squeezed in.
Our guests include poets, chefs, farmers, cooks, artists, historians, professors, and gardeners. Listen in as we talk about our unique food economy, history, and culture. If you miss our live broadcast on Tuesday at noon, catch the rebroadcast of Hot Water Cornbread every week on 93.9 FM on Wednesdays at 11 and Saturdays at 7 p.m. We'll see you at the table.
Bye bye, love. Bye bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. new. She sure looks happy. I sure am blue. She was my baby till he stepped in. Goodbye to romance that might have been. Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. I'm through with romance. I'm through with love. I'm through with counting the stars above. And here's the reason that I'm so free. My loving baby is here with me. I feel I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye.
You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. We're here in the studio with Sarah Beth and Mick Jeffries, who are members of KYUKE.
Yay!
Yeah! KYUKE, our neighborhood ukulele crew.
Sarah Beth and I are... one of the funny things about ukulele is we're both in it really for the... for the community and the education of it. The education is particularly what caused us to create Kentucky Ukulele. And so it's we sit here and we played an Everly Brothers song for you, but it's actually
Kentuckians, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's not necessarily all that common for us to perform. That's not exactly the goal. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that's kind of fun that we love showing people that it's really fun to perform. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we are necessarily aspiring to be superstars ourselves.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness. That'd be problematic.
If people want to be educated more about the ukulele, how can they do so? Where can they find classes, or can they just come join and hang out with you guys?
Well, as a matter of fact, we teach classes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
we don't just teach classes. We create programs.
Yeah,
entire programs.
We started from scratch. So when we do youth classes, I have a background in classroom management and conflict and prejudice reduction. And so I use a lot of the skills that I learned there to kind of craft the shell in which we can educate kids. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're a kid, you can't sit down for an hour lesson. That's like a lot. So we incorporate games and activities and little things that you can earn, which is super fun. And then for adults, we do something called the Sip and Strum. Mm-hmm. So we go to places that you can maybe get an adult beverage and then come upstairs and just really relax and you know, learn. It's super fun. If you've been an adult and you've been, you know, involved in work and kids and slogging through and you want to really rev your brain up, coming and taking a class at something that you have no background in is great. It's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you get to take this, you know, one of the things that's always been the most poignant to me is there's two, we teach kids, we've developed a variety of after school programs that are continuing to unfold, and we're working on new ones all the time. After school programs for schools, which, as I mentioned before, in many cases have cut back their music education. Mm. And so we're looking for ways to bring the power of music to and back to children of all economic classes, and of all ages, you know. So the kid aspect, there's that. And then on the other end of the scale, the other people that I really love working with so much are retirement age people. Mm-hmm. Because what we get there is we're still in this age where there, I know a lot of people who are my parents' age who basically, you know, I like to say did the right thing. Maybe they wanted to be a musician or an artist when they were a kid, but they like did the right thing basically, which because in sort of previous times, you would kind of make a choice. You know, you weren't like, I'm going to be a musician, and I'm going to be an architect, and I'm going to be all these things. So a lot of people, I believe that there's an audience that we specifically address and embrace of people who are like, yeah, I would have liked to have been a musician, but you know, instead I worked as an engineer for General Electric for 40 years, and now I'm retired. And maybe these people got a boat and got bored with that, or maybe they played golf for a while and they got tired of that, and some of them find ukulele, and what they find there is, in addition to something that costs a lot less than a boat, they find a community of people, and they find this place where they can get together with people, and they also find that it's not too late for them to be a musician and for them to play music.
And there's that great secret, which is that you don't have to be good to enjoy it. You know, a lot of our gatherings that we go to, there are some people that are, you know, maybe not the best.
Yeah.
Good effort, you know. And the thing is that everybody's having a great time.
Super supportive.
I will sit and listen to bad ukulele for like a million hours. Yeah. If people are having fun, you're not going to have a bad time. Yeah, it's ukulele.
And it still sounds nice. And I also think teaching people just music in general, you know, it's such a universal language. And kind of speaking of that, you recently went to Vietnam with your brother, right? On kind of a ukulele journey.
As hard as it is occasionally for me to look to keep a straight face when I say I'm a ukulele teacher and a ukulele educator, I've started to use the word educator to help me keep a straighter face.
Like that sounds way more serious.
I have almost as hard of a time keeping a straight face telling people that I went to Vietnam and I played ukulele across Vietnam. I played a variety of ukulele concerts across Vietnam.
Can you tell us a little bit
true
about that trip?
Did I mention that we rode motorcycles across Vietnam and I played ukulele
at the same
concerts?
Time?
Yeah.
You're so cool, man.
And I went to meet my brother, who was kind of on a global travel jaunt, which, you know, I like to say is nice work if you can get it. Yeah. But and I was lucky enough that our parents wanted me to go check on my brother, you know, and I'm like, well, I can do that. So we kind of worked out a deal, you know. And so I like to joke that I had to go to Vietnam because I needed to help my brother get from Saigon to from Hanoi to Saigon. He needed an escort, despite having traveled to 37 other countries in the world. But anyway, so we had a dream to ride motorcycles. It really wasn't very carefully concocted. We were like, well, what about riding? I don't know, we could ride motorcycles across Vietnam, which might sound like the craziest thing in the world, but it's a thing. Mm-hmm. And if you go and Google motorcycles Vietnam, you'll find several blogs dedicated to it. So anyway, we did this. And once we kind of had set that plan in motion, then it occurred to me that using the power of the internet, I made some contacts in Vietnam, and so I kind of booked a tour across Vietnam.
Wow. Ukulele tour.
Ukulele of places. And so I got there, and I played at the United Nations School in Hanoi, which was an astonishing, astonishing place. And I played at a funny little coffee shop in Hanoi where most of the people in attendance were the extended family of the owner of the coffee shop. Mm. And he had constructed the fuselage of an airplane in the middle of his house, kind of, for people to go inside of and drink coffee.
Wow.
And then everywhere we went, so I had several of these kind of official gigs. But beyond that, I played ukulele across Vietnam. I played it anywhere that we would stop. My ukulele would just be on top of all the other things on the back of my motorcycle, and I would get it out and I would start playing. And people lost their minds whenever I did this. Partially it's because of, I just cannot underscore how far away Southeast Asia is from here. And I mean, in every sense of the word, you know, but there's still people. There's still people just like us. But one of their fascinating things that I began to gather was you would choose your career kind of from a very young age. And a lot of those careers are just going to be a rice farmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably what I'm going to be.
Yeah.
But all that having been said, there's a really strong work ethic there and not a lot of room for dilly-dallying. And so one time I talked to someone who was kind of a tour guide there, and I was like, you know, I never see anybody – you know, do people have like guitars at home or ukuleles or anything? And he said, not really. He said, because like if you were to be, you know, in your house, you know, being like, you know, just messing around, being like, hey, Jude, don't make it bad. That your neighbor, this guy told me, he said your neighbor is very likely to be like, don't you have something better to do? Shouldn't you be working or something, you know?
No, and
so,
sure.
Like, so anywhere I played, people treated me like, they acted like I was a rock star. They wanted to be my friend on Facebook, and they wanted their pictures taken with me. And so real quickly, I came up with, songs that, now mostly they don't, they're not that familiar with Western songs, except for the just the heavy hitters, mm-hmm. you know, like the Beatles.
Yeah.
And like I said, I would play Hey Jude, and people would sing and stuff. And then I discovered that they liked, like, old Hank songs, you know, like, mm-hmm. I said, hey, good looking. And I play this for, like, really old ladies. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? And so I would do this all over the place, and I did love playing that for just like for kind of females of any age. And the great thing too was that nobody spoke English. I didn't speak any Vietnamese, but so I was like, I don't remember what this next line is, but I'll just play this till I can think of it. You know, like nobody. This is a great relief because you learn when you develop a personal a ukulele lifestyle that remembering words is that's one of the biggest tricks, you know. So anytime you go see a band that you love, that singer gets a little extra props because he's remembering all the words to those songs.
Yeah, #ukulele ukulele lifestyle.
Right. Life on the road, ukulele rock stars.
So,
well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so I played across Vietnam, and everybody was kind of crazy about it. And everywhere, some of my favorite moments were any place we had lunch, I would start playing ukulele after we finished, and people would kind of lose their minds in the sort of weird provincial country restaurant / someone's living room. Mm. And also, whenever our motorcycles needed attention from a mechanic, which was all the time, I made very sure to play ukulele whenever that was happening. And I think that ensured there's just like a goodwill that's transmitted by it. And I'm sure that it helped me not get overcharged too badly, but not that, you know, anything costs like $3 or $5 is what it was. But I will say, if a mechanic had a small child that was hanging around, they woe unto them basically. Wow. Because I was going to charm their kid with ukulele songs. And one mechanic who worked on my bike after I played some ukulele songs for his kids and he fixed my motorcycle, and I tried to pay him and he just like waved me off. And I was like, oh,
that's awesome. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, that really wherever you go, music will take you to another place.
It's music.
It's true.
And whatever, in any form is fine. We, Sarah Beth and I, as Kentucky Ukulele, we champion ukulele because it is so accessible to anybody with hands.
That's awesome. Well,
can you not have hands?
Yes, actually. Yeah. So actually, one of the people.
Oh, God, gosh, that's right.
We have a fantastic woman who comes to Ukulele World Congress whose husband fashioned an appliance for her because she has a disability, and she is, I aspire. I'm never going to be that good. Mm-hmm. She's incredible.
Yeah. Thank you. That's right.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, seriously, thank you all so much for coming in and joining us and talking about ukulele and
absolutely
all good things. Is there a song you all are interested in playing us out with?
Oh, Mick, you got to play
it. I really do want to play. So,
let's give everybody the website information and stuff again. And
sure.
All your Facebook.
KYUKE.com.
Is it KYUKE?
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you guys have, you're on Facebook and Twitter.
We are on the Facebooks. Do we tweet? Are we tweeting?
The MyFace. Facebook?
Probably. Sarah Beth is the genius of social media. So
I don't
we're
think
both
we're
kind
on
of
Twitter.
Oh, okay.
We do have the Instagram.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, you have Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the important one.
So, yeah. And again, our Kentucky Ukulele is ever unfolding. We're hoping to host a...
Please come to Open Mic third Thursdays.
Yes.
Wow.
That's
at Common Grounds.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Common Grounds Coffee Shop.
Common Grounds. Our first one was this last time.
It's one on Grand and High.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would have been, I tried to keep my expectations really low. Sarah Beth really just kind of made it happen. And I didn't, you know, we didn't know how many people would show up. This was totally meant to showcase our students in a lot of ways and to get them on stage. For for the simple and the simple purpose of that, of just what it's like to get on stage and play.
But all their friends came, their families came.
There were like 60 people.
And the great thing was watching them interact with some of the older ukulele players that came. They were so encouraging of each other. It was fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, thank you all again so much for coming in. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios. I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And Kyle, he's out there. What up, Kyle? Thank you all so much. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out at LexingtonCommunityRadio.org for all our podcasts, including this one and the re-air that will be on tomorrow, Saturday, at 11 a.m. But to play us out is Mick and Sarah Beth from KYUK.
One of the things that happened after the election was that we both saw an incredible need for I don't know what you might call... protest songs, you could call them that. But also, I found during the holiday season, in a desire to sort of embrace all people, that I started choosing my own what I consider to be holiday songs, you know. And they don't just have to be, I wasn't just looking for songs that didn't say Christmas or didn't have to do with Jesus or something, but songs that I just thought were songs of peace, you know. And so for some reason this year, I particularly arrived upon this Beatles song, which I really like to play. And I borrowed a beautiful Kala 8-string ukulele from Bob Wilcutt at Wilcutt Ukulele. At Wilcutt Guitars. And so I do want to thank Bob and Wilcutt Guitars for loaning me this magnificent instrument. This is Across the Universe, which is attributed to the Beatles, but I think if you look at it, it's pretty clearly either by John Lennon or George Harrison. And at this time, they were heavily into... they're sort of like Eastern gurus. And but the message here is undeniable and I think great for the holidays. So words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They welter while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Jai Guru Deva. Nothing's gonna change my world. 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 Images of broken light which dance before me like a million eyes that call me on and on across the universe. Thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble and they make their way across the universe. Jai Guru Deva. Nothing's gonna change my world. 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 Sounds of laughter, shades of earth are ringing through my open ears, inciting and inviting me. Limitless, undying love which shines around me like a million suns. It calls me on and on across the universe. Jai Guru Deva. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Jaigu Deva. Jaiguru Deva. Jaiguru Deva. Jaiguru Deva.